Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the third day of October, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is current events with Keith. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumri and Beth. Callers will be welcome. Of course, we ask that you keep answers or questions short as possible. Also, be courteous to other callers who may be on at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody calling in will be muted until such time as I unmute them when you get yourself put into the queue. And, of course, we'll answer the queue in the order that they come in. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And, again, that's .net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We remind you that there is a Daily Mail page where we keep latest information. Also, the home page, which is the first page of the website. We've added a method there for folks to help us financially if they so desire. You can do it the old-fashioned way or through electronic means. To my cousins, à mes parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. À mis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. Zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen bei Anruf. So, welcome to the program. And Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, Dan, I got you.
Ah, excellent. I can hear you fine. 5x5, how are you doing this fine day?
Doing terrific. Day's just getting started out here, so it looks like it's going to be a nice day. And no chemtrails being sprayed just yet. So, we'll see what takes place over the next few hours out here. Normally, when we have a beautiful blue sky like this, they like to corrupt it with their demonic chemtrails they spray, so.
Yep, absolutely. I got to ask Keith, what are we doing wrong that there are still so many ignorant people walking around? I mean, I just don't get it. I'm getting phone calls daily from people to get them off the ledge. They've got friends or relatives. For instance, I got a call yesterday. My buddy's girlfriend, her brother got the vax a couple of weeks ago. Now he's acting completely out of character. He's manic. He's almost like he's on cocaine. He has a hard time sitting still. He's doing things that the family's never seen him do, and you know, I guess he's in his 30s or 40s, maybe even his 50s. So, you know, I don't know. I just don't get it. Is this the grand delusion, or what do you think? Are we in the grand delusion because they don't love the truth?
Yeah, we're definitely in the grand delusion. I mean, it's also written, right? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Okay, this is like synchronicity again here. I want to start off, you started this off perfect today, Dan, because I've got a short commentary, I guess you'd call it here, that I'd like to read.
Sure.
I found it on Henry Macau's site. I don't know what people think of Henry Macau. I'll take him or leave him, right? He's one of the tribe, so, you know, I would say that, you know, 99% out of his mouth is horse crap, and the other 1% might be good information. But you just need the 1% of information, right? So I thought this was a very good write-up. It's not by him. It's by a guy named Mike Stone, and it was published on Henry Macau's site on September 29th, so a few days ago. And Mike Stone, the title of this commentary is "Masses Are Complicit in Their Own Demise." I found this rather interesting, and it sparked something in me, because this is truly what people who are fully aware of what's going on, this takes place in their life constantly. I'm sure the people in the chat and hopefully some of the people who come across this recording can relate to this. I think we all can. It's rather interesting. Here we go. By Mike Stone on HenryMacau.com. I'll read the title again. "Masses Are Complicit in Their Own Demise." Americans are not only oblivious to their own destruction, they're actually complicit in it. That's the irony. The entire hoax would stop instantly if everyone just took off their mask, but they won't. They'd rather submit to slavery, lose limbs to amputation, or lose their lives from blood clots. They'd rather condemn their souls to hell than face reality. Like frogs being slow boiled in a pot, Americans, and you can substitute Americans for the whole white Western Christian world, okay? So like frogs being slowly boiled in a pot, Americans are oblivious to their own impending destruction. The only difference is the frogs are smarter. Turn up the heat too fast and the frog will catch on and hop right out of the pot. Americans have had the heat turned up scorching hot for the last 2 years, yet they remain utterly clueless. The girl at the bank asks me how I am. I tell her, I'm okay under the circumstances. What circumstances, she asked. The virus hoax, I say. She stares back at me with vacant eyes. I've seen that look a million times over the last year, the fluoride stare, delivered over a face diaper. You know it's all fake, right, I say? She gives a little laugh and lowers her head. Our conversation is over. She finishes processing my deposit, and I leave. A friend asked me to join him on a trip to Las Vegas to watch the Raiders football game. First of all, I tell him, they won't let me in because I'm not vaxxed. Second of all, are you sure you want to go to a football game with everything that's happening in the world today? He snorts and says, I'm not going to let those liberals make me change my life. Liberals? Does he even have a clue what's going on? This isn't about liberals or conservatives, Democrats or Republicans. It's about the complete overthrow of the country. It's about communist mass murder and enslavement of society. Liberals? Question mark. I'll add that it's not only communist mass murder. These are satanic pedophile hybrid creatures who are murdering us. Politics as usual. Millions of Americans share my friend's attitude. On some level, they understand that the presidential election and the California recall election were both rigged, yet they refuse to believe it's anything more than politics as usual. The fake conservatives on Fox News and talk radio have convinced them that that's all it is politics. There's no sense of urgency among Americans. No one seems to grasp what's really going on. Like my friend who wants to watch the team he rooted for as a boy, I've noticed people's desire to revert back to their childhood. My stupid sister talks endlessly about going to Disneyland again next summer because it's what we've always done. She wants to evade reality by reverting to her childhood. Another friend entered a bodybuilding competition for the first time. To his credit, he won his weight class. But why? What's the point of winning a trophy when 70% of the world's population is targeted for complete destruction and annihilation? Another friend wants to update an old script we worked on together and send it out. But why? I try telling him that the industry is infested with communist scum and that at the top some literally have sold their souls to Satan. They're actually Satan's kids, as we know. I added that. Mm-hmm. He bursts out laughing and calls me crazy. I offer to send him evidence, but he doesn't want to see it. He wants to be a child again, watching his heroes on the big screen. I get that people have goals and dreams and whatnot, but the world we once knew it is gone. We're at war now. The old rules and ways of life no longer apply when you're in a fight for survival, which these people don't seem to understand. Why am I seemingly the only person in my circle who understands this? Maybe they're the ones behaving rationally, and I'm not. Vax Lemmings. Today I received an email from a fully vaxxed friend who tells me he's getting both a flu shot and a COVID booster shot later this week. I try talking sense to him, but it goes in one ear and out the other. Like my writer friend, all he wants to do is watch old videos from his childhood. If he's alive by this time next year, I'll be shocked. In fact, I doubt it if he makes it to Christmas. The sidewalks swarm with hundreds of people wearing a submission face diaper. There's a high school down the street, and I observe girls cruising boys and boys cruising girls. The ones who aren't cruising are glued to their phones like mindless zombies. I added that. The adults scurry to and from work like mice trapped in the rat race. The homeless lie in their tents. People in L.A. and across America are going about their business as if nothing's different. Nothing has changed as long as they wear a mask and take two jabs. No one knows the truth, and no one wants to know. Americans are not only oblivious to their own destruction, they're actually complicit in it. That's the irony. The entire hoax would stop instantly if everyone just took off their mask, but they won't do it. They'd rather submit to slavery, lose limbs to amputation, or lose their lives to blood clots. They'd rather condemn their souls to hell than face reality. Their obliviousness is going to be their own destruction. How poignant was that?
Spot on, I would say.
Spot on, guys. So, I mean, that's again on Henry McCow, a commentary by a guy named Mike Stone. Don't know who Mike Stone is, but this guy is spot on. Your family's never going to wake up. Everyone who's awake has already woken up. It's too late. You can't wake anybody up. Okay? This is going to be a dose of reality this morning for people who still believe that there's a chance to save this thing. Whatever they want to save, I'm unsure of. But I look around and I say, what do you want to save? The garbage on the streets? You want to save all the junkies who are shooting up heroin on the sidewalk as cops watch them do it in every major city? You want to save the homeless population tents? You want to save big tech? I mean, you want to save the Federal Reserve Bank? You want to save the government, the country, the land that's all polluted and that can't even be farmed hardly anymore? That's what you want to save? You want to save football games? You want to save your kid's soccer game? Are you freaking kidding me? There is nothing to save. Okay? There is nothing to save. I suggest you prepare now. Dan, back to you.
Yeah, just you're spot on as usual, Keith, here. I happened to be going through my closet, and I saw on my bookshelf the Book of Enoch, so my friends have been relating to it quite a bit here lately. So I thought I would share a very short chapter, chapter 1 at the very beginning of the book, of course. The word of the blessing of Enoch, how he blessed the elect and the righteous who were to exist in the time of trouble, to the rejection of all the wicked and ungodly, referring to Psalm number 1. Enoch, a righteous man, was with Yahweh God, answered and spoke while his eyes were open and while he saw a holy vision which was in the heavens, referring to Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. This is what the angel showed me. From them I heard all things and understood what I saw, that which will not take place in this generation, but in a generation which is to succeed at a distant period on account of the elect. Reference Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Upon their account I spoke and conversed with him who will go forth from his habitation, the Holy and Mighty One, the Elohim God of the world, who will hereafter tread upon Mount Sinai, appear with his hosts, and be manifested in the strength of his power from heaven. All shall be afraid, and the watchers be terrified. Great fear and trembling shall seize them, even to the ends of the earth. The lofty mountains shall be troubled, and the exalted hills depressed, melting like a honeycomb in the flame. The earth shall be immerged, and all things which are in it perish, while judgment shall come upon all, even upon all the righteous. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. But to them shall he give peace, he shall preserve the elect, and towards them exercise clemency. Then shall all belong to Elohim God, be happy and blessed, and the splendor of the Godhead will illuminate them. Referring to Isaiah 40, verse 5, and Isaiah 65, verses 21 through 25. So, again, the ancient texts refer to a group called the elect in the latter days, which I don't know about you, Keith, but I have a feeling that we're part of that group, would you not say?
Yeah, it's the only explanation that I could come to. You know, this is this is it. We're here now. This is what Enoch was talking about, the future distant period. Right, this is it. And for those of you who don't understand this, I don't know what to tell you. You're in real trouble. Serious trouble. Your friends are in serious trouble. I don't know how else I can state this, how serious the situation is. Okay? The people who you work with are in serious trouble. Your neighbors are in serious trouble. This is not a game. This is not a joke.
Hey, let me ask you, talking about how serious things are, I just got a text message that came in from one of our elect, and it brings up a subject that we've talked about here quite often, and that is to be prepared like good Boy Scouts. In the scripture in the Proverbs, it says, a prudent man, meaning a wise or observant person, sees disaster coming and prepares for it. And this is the note I just got. All the supplies, cargo is stopped, no deliveries allowed, everything will be shut down soon. Even Publix is not getting their local shipments, as the past week that I've visited, and Walmart even had empty shelves in many areas. It's almost here, the one we've been preparing for, and a shame we didn't get into the land first, meaning our communities. Here is from my friend at the border. I'm at a truck stop tonight, and it's completely dead. This is one of the busiest shipping lanes in the nation, and nothing is moving. Hope you are buckled in. The ride could get bumpy. So what are you hearing? And then, of course, there's another link to the website where they show all the shipping cargo ships around the world, and they're basically being held offshore and not allowed to come in and unload. So what are you hearing from your side of the nation?
Yeah, this is there's more ships. I think there's upwards of 70-plus ships now. So the ship numbers are not going down, right? I think back in August there was 33 ships, right? You got that number 33. They love that number. So who knows? It could have been 32 or 31. But we'll go with their number of 33. Interesting. 33 ships in August off the coast of Long Beach, I think it is. Then there was 40-some-odd. Now there's over 70 ships. So this is not getting better. I hope you understand that. It's not meant to get better. It's never going to get better. It's going to progressively get worse. You are in a complete societal collapse. Okay? Now the ships are also piling off of New York. Okay? Guys,
Hey, Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, just real quick, somebody brought something up to me, and I was just wondering your opinion on it. Are the ships being told to stay away and not come in, or are they being told to hold up because there's not enough trucks and truck drivers to take stuff away, which is also intentional, the shortage of truck drivers. But which of those two, or is it a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two. The truck driving, though, is a big problem. During the beginning of this virus hoax, remember, all of the truck driving schools that train all of our professional truck drivers out there were shut down for a year. So, in that year, how many older truck drivers decided just to retire instead of working another year or two? A lot of them. So we have no new truck drivers because the schools were shut down to fill in the gap of the retired truck drivers who retired last year. Okay, then along with the high turnover rate in the trucking industry, because people think they're going to drive a truck and think it's, easy work and hard fun. Yeah, try driving across the country 8 hours every single day or 10 hours every single day with the idiots on the road. Okay, yeah, real easy job. So the turnover rate is extremely high in the trucking industry also. Okay, plus we've got these creatures who own this place holding up the ships. Right? So it's a multiple-edged sword or multiple spider webbing problem, like everything else that takes place. This has been planned for decades. This is not something that was just thrown in the loop. This has been planned for decades. They are going to starve you out. Okay? They will starve out you. They will starve out your grandkids. They will starve out your children and your friends that you know and your families. Okay? That's how serious this is. Okay,
Hey.
somebody, they have no food. Well, my wife was at the, she does the food shopping for us. And she goes to the grocery store every Monday at about the same time every day. And I get cold cuts for lunch every day. I like a nice turkey or nice chicken breast cold cuts. I know it's not the healthiest thing in the world, but again, we don't have a lot of money, so cold cuts work for us. A sandwich is not going to kill me every day to have a sandwich, a turkey sandwich. So she's looking in the deli counter and she's noticing that it's mostly empty, and where it's full, they don't have separate items. They have a turkey breast and they put six of the same turkey breasts in the shelf to make it look like it's full for the dumbed down idiots who go there. Right, who think it's full because they see, but it's all the same product. She asked the lady, "Hey, did your truck come yet?" The lady goes, "Yeah, the truck already came." She goes, "We only get about 50% of what we order."
Wow.
Okay, so 50 guys, only 50% of what they order. This is going on in grocery stores around the country. Now, I can't speak for the world. Someone in the Caucasian guy in the chat says no empty shelves in the stores in Holland. I can't speak for what's going on in Holland. All I know is that you guys have a whole nother problem with the Africans they imported there. So good luck with
Yeah.
that. I suggest you man your swords and start chopping heads off when they come to attack you and your family in self-defense. I don't know what's going on in Europe. All I hear is that the they have no fuel over in the UK. They have a CO2 problem, a fertilizer plant problem, which I guess is starting to come here. Dan, it's a mess. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah,
It's a mess.
it's the chaos that we talked about for years and years. Unfortunately for us, it takes longer than we think, but for 22 years we've been talking about this stuff and telling people, get ready. Just because it's not at your doorstep today doesn't mean that the Father hasn't given you a warning way ahead of time so you can get ready. But one of our listeners here right now is a truck driver, and I'm going to unmute him and see if John will speak with us here for a minute and give his. If I can get the software to work, I apologize for that. John, do you have your mic on, buddy?
Good morning to all. Good morning, Pastor Dan. May Yahweh bless you. And Keith, may Yahweh bless you as well. Okay, I'm hearing what's going on now. And he said about 8 hours. Well, that depends on the type of driving the driver is doing. Generally, 8 hours would be like a local, depending on if he's driving a tractor trailer or a straight truck. But the, he's got it right. And that could be local driving between here and Orlando or Jacksonville and then getting back to the terminal later on in the afternoon or the next day. Because that type of driving, I can't go over 14 hours. Now, as far as East Coast to the West Coast is concerned, that long distance, long haul driving, that's we can't drive past 11 hours. But generally, I would drive, and I guess many other drivers do, anywhere between 10 to 11, but we can't really go over that 11 or else we'll be in trouble. Now, as far as the shortages are concerned, yes, it's very true. I've been to the some of the Publix Winn-Dixie stores down here, the grocery stores, and the Cuban store, Sedano's grocery store. They seem to be empty on some shelves there. Walmart, yes, it's true. I've been to some Walmarts down here. Where there are empty, well, I'd say three-quarters empty. And in some places of shelving in Walmart, it's all empty. But what is saying, yes, it's true. Now, as far as the shortage of drivers is concerned, yes, that's very true. But that was well-designed for what we know now, what is happening to the United States of America. I believe the school down here, well, there's two, one in Fort Lauderdale and one in Miami-Dade County. If I'm not mistaken, they too were closed, but I don't know if they opened up since then or not. Maybe. I'm not too sure. I haven't found out yet. But no, we got a big shortage of truck drivers. But generally, over the years, I've been hearing that there is a shortage or had been a shortage anywhere from about 50,000 to 60,000 drivers, and many corporations or companies were looking for drivers of all types. But now I believe it could be up to maybe 80,000 drivers that are needed out there right now. I don't know. I don't know about I'm sure some were pushed off the road, retired, or they quit driving. I still continue to drive, but right now I'm not doing anything. I might do it again in a couple of weeks. But Pastor Dan, I'll get with you with that later, but not here. I'll talk to you when I see you next time face to face. But that's what I do know. This is the latest news that I've been hearing about. And also, supposedly there's a fuel shortage at the truck stops. I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't doubt it. It depends on where it is or how they're getting it, because you have to keep these trucks going. I could care less what company the driver works for. The truck has to move, period. Generally, when I'm driving, I have a co-driver so we can get from the East Coast to the West Coast in a matter of, depending on the traffic, at least 3 days, maybe 2.5 days and 3 nights, so and the same in return. But that would also depends on the route that we take. But here's what happened. When all this COVID crap started, I didn't believe it. My co-driver was telling me, the one that I still keep in contact with, he was telling me, oh, no, the grocery stores are empty, so much is empty, the Walmarts are, so much of their shelves are empty, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought this whole thing was a joke. I mean, I drove through this whole thing, and it wasn't. And then I became a believer, so if it's not happening in Chicago, New York, or some other place, I mean, just driving in California, oh my gosh, you don't even want to go out there. Truck drivers don't like going out there. So when I would go out there, I would get drop off a load, pick up a load, and hopefully get the heck out of Dodge or out of the state of Florida, or out of the state of California super fast. Because that's one state I don't like. And let me tell you, if it's not down here, it's California is the worst state for the masks, and then they're pushing now the COVID deadly jab, the clot shots on the children now, on the elementary schools. This governor is insane. This is ridiculous. But as far as the shortage is concerned, yes, I'm convinced of it.
Okay, Pete, you have anything more for John?
Yeah, no, that's coming straight from a professional truck driver's mouth. You guys got to pay attention. Okay, just because you go into your little local grocery store and there's no shortage today, well, that's because they've got back products they're throwing up on the shelves. But I'm telling you right now, listen to this guy. Listen, John, I think his name was John. Listen
yes,
to him.
Yes, John. John.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not good with names sometimes.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
So listen to what he's telling you. Stop living in your fantasy world. The shelves are going to be empty. They are going to starve your children and grandchildren out. These are mass murderer, satanic pedophiles.
Amen. Hey, guys, we got another truck driver. It must be providential that the truck drivers all called in today. We got Randy up in Michigan. Welcome to the program, Randy.
Hey, good morning.
What's your take on things, buddy, from a driver's point of view?
Well, I mean, this doesn't really come much of a surprise. I mean, we've been warning people. I mean, Pastor Dan, you went over 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I started my awakening process back in 2000. But, yeah, I've been driving. I've done lots of different things in trucking, but most of my career since 2000 has been the typical what you would call like the over-the-road type driver or, you know, kind of like a regional. But, yeah, I've hauled the 53-foot trailer. Currently I've been doing reefer trailers for a while. That's typically deep-frozen products. I mean, you know, all kinds of food. I mean, and with the reefer trailer, obviously they could put dry temp food in there as well. But I mean, if you look on the highways, I mean, there's a lot of trucks. But as long as I can remember being in trucking, they've always talked about being a driver shortage. And just look on the highways, there's lots of trucks out there. But then you look at the shelves in the store, and it's like, yeah, but what's going on? But I mean, we're working as hard as we can. I mean, typically people. Drivers in my category, I mean, we're anywhere from 10 to 12,000 miles a month per truck. I mean, in a lot of cases, we can't really work because of all the government regulations. We can't really work any more than we already are. I mean, we're pushing to the max. And then a lot of us that do typical OTR, maybe we get home every other week. Some of us stay out 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I mean, we can't really push any harder than we already are. I mean, on average, I only spend about 4 days off a month at my home. That's it.
Wow.
That's the state of and I think another thing that we need to address here is the work ethic. It just sucks in our country. I mean, people just don't have the work ethic like we once had in this country. People just, I mean, look at this pandemic. They use that as an excuse to go sit on the couch and get a free check. I mean, we cannot continue like this as a country.
Begging your pardons just a minute. Pastor Dan, can you all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, Keith.
Okay, it's a possibility. No, this is John. It's a possibility.
Oh, okay, John.
This is a possibility, and I've read different stories about it around here. We don't know how many people are really dead of this vaccine. But listening to Keith, I think last week, it could, and I agree with him, it could be anywhere from 30 million to 40 million people dead of these clot shots, and it's being kept under the rug. I mean, the government knows the full truth. And so that's a good theory, is that the reason many people aren't working out there is because a lot of them have to be dead. I mean, I don't know. I just can't believe that a lot of these younger crowd people, the young people or middle-aged people, I don't think they're really sitting at home. I'm sure a lot of them want to work. But I mean, there are different viewpoints here right now. But, yes, I can't see how people can stay at home. Oh, well, I'm going to get a check this month for about $300 or $400 or $500. I'll just live off of that. I can't believe everyone and their brother and sister is doing it. But I mean, who wouldn't even want to stay at home if they know they're going to get a check from the government? Now they're talking about what Joe Biden and the people that are backing him, what is it, $1 trillion and another $2 or $5 trillion or $3.5 trillion? This is getting ridiculous. We're being literally put, actually, we're already there. America is really a communist socialist country now. And, well, it has been for quite a while, but it's in full view. I mean, completely full view. I have not been down to the U.S.-Mexican border because there's one of my company has a terminal down there. what the heck is he at down there? And I do not know the driving situation, or the many companies do, because a lot of stuff is coming out of Central America, Mexico for sure, because I've pulled trailers coming right out of Mexico to take from there to maybe Dallas or up to the Detroit or wherever, Los Angeles or the state of Washington. I pulled a few trailers out of there. But right now, I don't know exactly what's going on in there. Now we're talking about this COVID, this clot shot thing. I've been keeping up the last week and a half, or at least 2.5 weeks. The CEO of U.S. Express says that he is not going to push the vaccines, but at the same time, he's encouraging it. And just reading what he said, that at the current time, we're not going to do anything or whatever. I wish I had the coffee here, but it's the wording that's in there. I mean, he would be a damn fool to tell, all right, everybody, you have to have the clot shot. Not those words. I don't know how many drivers are there at U.S. Express or even Werner. Well, I can't speak for Werner, but U.S. Express I can. He'd be a damn fool to push that. And I saw a video of him pulling up somewhere, and he supposedly took it. But I think that was a fake video there. Maybe that was a placebo or something. It could have been made up. But I did see him supposedly take it. But I don't personally believe he took it, because he has to know the full truth about these damnable vaccines or these clot shots. But they have treated me well. I've stayed with them for a couple of years, but they have treated me well. I can't I have to give them credit. But I hope that no driver out there is foolish enough to take this clot shot. Let me tell you, I was in Wyoming one time, absolutely about a year and a half ago. Yeah, that's where I was during the winter, and it was on I-80. Oh, it's a nice truck stop right there at I-80. And I was waiting in line to get – I was getting a sandwich. I was waiting in line, and here comes this older truck driver, and he was bragging that, oh, I got the clot. Well, he got the vaccine. Oh, I got this. Oh, I feel good, and everything's fine. And then an overweight, a big, burly, overweight truck driver said, hey, man, you really took that? And the older guy said, yeah, man, look, I took it. Everything's fine. And then the overweight truck driver told him, man, I've heard a lot of awful things about these vaccines. You sure you're okay, man? And the older guy said, yeah, I'm fine. Well, I was laughing on the inside. Apparently, even their drivers that just don't want it. But yeah, unfortunately, he's overweight, so that's another problem he has to overcome. But CEOs of these transportation industry out there, they would be fools to tell their workers, especially their drivers of the transportation industry, well, you want to continue here, you have to have that clot shot. If that ever happens to me, I'll just write a nice little note, say, no, I won't do it, or they'll give us time to do it. I'm not taking that damn thing. I'm not wearing a damn mask. I don't care if people in these offices are wearing masks. I'm not going in there. I have no reason to. I just got to go drop my load off and pick up another one and keep going. But with what they're doing, what they're doing now to the aviation industry, the pilots, the airline pilots, I mean, flight attendants, they're walking off the job, man. How far is this crap going to go? We need to do something now. We need to do something now, or else we're going to see much, much more death coming up, and I do believe that we will, because we're approaching the winter, and now they're saying, what is it, go get your flu shots? Those flu shots or vaccines, they could be disguised as a COVID shot itself. Now, how's that for substance?
Yeah, John, let me just interject here real quick about what you're saying about the trucking companies requiring their employees. Tucker Carlson, again, lying creep. All right, Tucker Carlson's a shill for the usual suspects.
Okay, yes.
Okay, but he came out, you know, every once in a while, the you know, creeps like him speak some truth and give some important information out. Apparently, in the $3.5 trillion bill that they're trying to pass or just passed or whatever, on page 168, I believe it is, some satanic pedophile creature from the so-called House of Representatives put in the bill that any company that has over 100 employees who does not enforce the vaccine mandate on their employees will be fined. You ready for this?
Yes, go ahead.
You're ready. Hold on to your chairs, everybody.
Okay.
The company will be fined $700,000 per case.
Oh, my. You mean per day or per case?
Per case.
Oh, my God.
Of an unvaccinated employee. So that's why this is an extremely serious broadcast, okay? The companies have no choice but to fire any unvaccinated people, or they will be bankrupted and forced out of business by the communist federal government, who's going to fine them $700,000 per instance.
The freight in this country needs to keep going, even if there are shortages. The freight needs to keep moving. I don't care who the CEO is of what transportation company, he or she goes along with this. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of drivers just pulling over somewhere or going to their terminal, handing in the keys, and heading home. I will do that.
If they don't go along with it, they will be fined out of business. You can't get away from this. It's happening. It's here. You're either going to lose your job. I hate to tell this to you, John. You seem like a very nice man. I would love to have a drink with you in a bar or a soda, whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you right now, and I've been telling people this since April of 2020, you will be required to get the vaccine. I don't care what industry you're in, okay? Or you will be fired. And now here's how they're doing it. They're going to fine the company $700,000 for you not taking the vaccine. What do you think the CEO is going to do? He's going to fire you.
I believe that you are correct, but I'm keeping my fingers.
This is insane.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed and praying to Yahweh Almighty it does not happen, especially the company I'm working. But the way he's been talking and doing things, you may be right. I think he's going to tell not just the truck drivers, but everyone in the offices. They're headquartered in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the other terminals right there. I believe he'll do it, but I'm praying that he doesn't. He has to see the full truth about this. He has to see exactly what's behind this. You simply can't just shut down the freight in America or truck drivers. You can't do that.
Yeah, they can do that, John. They own it. It's part of the system.
You are dealing with mass murdering satanic pedophiles.
Right. They don't care.
Let me reiterate that. Okay? When I say that, I am not exaggerating. I am not just making it up for fear to tell people, oh, my God, they're satanic pedophiles. These people actually kidnap children. They take them to their rituals, and they torture the little children and the little babies. Okay, forget about their mind control Illuminati operations. These are their minions who do this. They take the little children and they hold satanic bloodletting rituals. They actually kill the little children in a room, and they drink their blood. I don't know how else to get this across to people. I know it sounds like a movie. Okay, it sounds like a movie that these, international creeps, small hat-wearing people put out on your Hollywood screen. Okay, I know it sounds like a movie. This is not a movie. This is reality. So that's who you're dealing with. And I don't think people actually understand when I say this stuff that is who you are dealing with. These people, the CEOs of these businesses, okay, I would not doubt for a second that they have not been threatened. And here's the threat. Okay, here's how they threaten these people. They have a meeting with the CEO. And they say to them, here's what you're going to do. And the CEO is probably like, what do you mean? This will ruin the business. How can you do this? No, here's what you're going to do, Mr. CEO. You're going to do whatever we tell you, or this is what is going to happen to you. We're going to come to your home in the middle of the night. This is what they tell them. Okay? We're going to knock on the door. If you don't open up the door, we will kick the door in. We don't care how many weapons you have. We're going to have an arsenal with us. Okay? You will shit your pants, Mr. CEO. We're going to come into your house. We're going to rape your wife and kill her in front of you. Then we're going to rape your daughter and kill her in front of you. And then we're going to let you live because you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. And if you get out of line again, we will come and kill you. Okay?
Okay, Keith, you actually, well, are you... You really believe that these creatures, we all know who they are, that they have gone to so many of these CEOs in whatever company, especially the bigger ones, and actually told them this behind closed doors and then walked out?
Yes. And you know how we know this?
Well, I'll tell you what, you may be right, but let me tell you, the common man and woman need to stand up and back up these CEOs that don't want to go along with this, even if it means taking up arms. That's all I have to say about that.
Right. We already know that they do this because of the meeting that Jesse Ventura had when he got elected governor of Minnesota in the basement of the Capitol building with 8 men he didn't know who they were. Okay? These are mass killers. They are coming for your family. The mask wearing is the least of our problems. Okay? That's how serious the situation is. They brag about this stuff in the books that they write. The Bolshevik Revolution was not a joke.
No. And the sad thing is they're getting compliance from a lot of people with just intimidation and brainwashing. They're getting an awful lot of compliance with something as silly as that, let alone blackmail and threatening families. To get CEOs to succumb, they probably do have to pressure them with that kind of pressure. But the average diaper wearer out here, all it took was some propaganda and a few cases, a little intimidation, and they caved. Personally, I think this is Yahweh is separating the wheat from the tares. That's exactly what's happening. If you look at the consequences of what's going on right now, stop and think about this. What is happening? We have a separating of the righteous from the unrighteous, because the righteous are somewhat lazy, and just like our ancestors, the Israelites, we don't want to do anything until we absolutely have to. As long as we can tolerate it at all, we'll sit on our asses and watch our television and just let it go by. Yahweh has turned the heat up to high, and he's separating his righteous wheat from the tares. That's what's happening. And so it's not going to go away until the final separation happens here. Everybody, what we're saying should happen, yeah, it should. There should be a revolution. We should go round up all these people and execute them for their crimes. They've murdered people. They've kidnapped people. They're poisoning. And they're pedophiles. Those are all capital crimes. However, we do have to understand that there is a element of prophecy coming true here, because he said, come out of Babylon, my people. That was a commandment. That's not a suggestion. Only our people don't want to do it. They want to keep things going as it was. And we've said it many, many times. There's not going to be a going back to normal. There is no normal the way you think it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. We're not going back there, and as Keith has pointed out, why would we? Why would we want to go back where the food isn't fit to eat, the water's not fit to drink, the air's not fit to breathe? The public schools are hotbeds of pornography and communism. Universities are full of the same thing. Why do we want to go back to that? Churches full of lying pastors telling their preachers or their congregations that Christ was a Jew. What a lie that is. Or that there's such a silly thing as a rapture going to take them out of here. I mean, come on. That's the normal. Why do we want to go back to that? He said, get out of there. And he's putting enough pressure on us now that some of the righteous are starting to form parallel societies. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. What's his name? Andrew Torba, the guy that started Gab. Okay? He has been promoting parallel Christian societies. So if you think about it, that's what he's telling us to do. So every one of us should be looking at how can you operate outside of the system, which means get back to basics, get back to working with your neighbors, working with those of like mind, grow your own food. It's not that damn hard. Get the seeds, vertical growing. You can do it in on a small plot of ground. We're just too frickin' lazy. That's what we've become. It's easy to run down to the store and get a package out of the shelf and go home and throw it in a microwave. That's how lazy we are. So you got to look at it both ways. Is this a satanic operation? Absolutely. But is it also going to do some good? Yeah, because our people need a kick in the ass. We don't want to get off our ass and do anything anymore. And this is what's happening right now. There are parallel societies growing up, especially in the conservative states. There's also talk of new currencies outside of the Jewish-controlled cabal's banks, which is something we should have done generations ago, but we don't because we're too lazy. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's doom and gloom for the wicked. But if the righteous understand the signs of the times and we start working together as brothers and sisters, we can create a better world. And as Buckminster Fuller says, you don't fight an existing system. You create a new paradigm, a new model that makes the old model, which is the wicked's way, obsolete. And that's the part our people don't seem to get. We keep wanting to hang on to the old normal. The old normal is evil. What's happening is evil right now, but who's it killing? Who's it maiming? The wicked. People who've turned their back on Yahweh God and the truth. Okay, as far as I know, every righteous person, every true believer is doing okay. They're growing food. They're reaching out to the local farmers or the local farmers market or the Amish community down the road, and they're going there for food and for milk and things like that. Something we should have been doing forever. And now, because of this insanity, our people are finally starting to pay attention. I've been doing it, like you said, Keith, I've been doing this for 22 years, and it feels like I'm hitting my head against a brick wall. That's what it's like trying to herd cats. Our people are just like cats. Have you ever tried to herd up about 6 to 12 cats or chickens? It's nearly impossible. And that's what it's like trying to get our people to understand what the hell's going on and actually do something. They'll talk about it. They'll talk a good talk, but actually doing something? Nah, you got to kick them in the ass. Go ahead, Randy.
You know, I believe the guy's name on CNN there, I think his name is Don Lemon. Him and people like him are out there openly telling us what the whole plan is. You know, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the grocery store. Well, that's interesting. Yahweh told us it was all going to happen in the book of Revelation. Praise be to Yahweh. They're all being exposed for who they are. This is I understand this. These are difficult times, but Yahweh told us this time would come. And here, generations and generations of people talked about this coming time, and here we are living it. Praise be to Yahweh.
Yeah, amen. Randy, I agree with you, man. Right on. This is we are in the book of Revelation. I'd say we're probably in about chapter 18 almost, or coming up on the heels of chapter 18.
And this is another perfect example to use. What I've been trying to do with people is say, hey, how come when the governors shut the churches down, more of these preachers didn't tell these governors to go to hell? You know, and a lot of people are like, look, people are waking up on a mass scale that we don't even fully comprehend. We're already told that we're going to win. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of work on our part, but we already know the end of the story, and enjoy the show because I'm loving it.
Yeah, Randy, I agree with you there. We know what the end is, and our Father promises us that we win in the end. Are we going to take casualties? We sure are, but in any war, the Israelites took casualties in the Old Testament, didn't they? So we have some good news here along with some bad news, for lack of a better term. The good news is, as Randy stated, that we win in the end. He's watching the show. I am sitting back and watching the show also. So is my wife. We're watching this take place. You guys are living in a time where it's incredible because you don't know what's going to happen when you wake up the next morning. Okay, that's the way I look at this. They could crash the economy tomorrow morning, right? So you never know what they're going to do. I find this so interesting in a weird sort of way that this is actually taking place in my lifetime. Babylon is crumbling as we speak. It is all coming down. The people are taking their shots. 400,000 Americans just last weekend took the third booster shot. 400, and that was just in the pharmacies recorded. Forget about their personal doctors and anywhere else they got it. 400,000 took the third shot. Are you kidding me? These people are loading up on these toxins, and they're going to be like like Lot's wife, where she turned back because she wanted to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? She turned back. People are taking this jab or turning back, and unfortunately, our Heavenly Holy Father is going to punish those people. I don't know how he's going to punish them. I guess he's already punished some of them with them losing their life on this planet and their family members. But this will continue to take place. The massive culling is coming. I called it by before February, they are going to pull the plug on mostly this whole thing. I could be off by 6 months or a year, but I believe that February is a time period. So prepare accordingly. And if, again, you guys got to understand, okay, the people, even the people who are think they're awake, and I say think they're awake because they're really not, they're somewhat out of their slumber, I'll call it. They don't know who the enemy is. These people think the enemy is Chinese people. Do you see any Chinese people anywhere? I can't find them anywhere who's in control of anything. I only see one group of people who seems to be in charge of all the departments. And last weekend, I started to read off all the departments and Biden's administration that these creatures hold. And then we got cut off of the call. So, it's not the Chinese. These people think it's the Chinese. How can you fight a war if you don't even know who you're fighting? And then you tell them who the enemy is, and they go, well, geez, I've got a few of those people in my family. They're great, nice people. Oh, hello? These are demons in shoe leather. Are you kidding me?
Okay, let me interrupt. This is John. Let me interrupt for just a minute. You were talking about the people that went for their boosters. They might be dead within a couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 months. But no, that booster shot, I mean, if the second one didn't do it, that booster shot will, because it's loaded with possibly double or triple more crap that nobody knows what's in there. Well, anyway, as far as the clot shots or people taking these vaccines are concerned, I was watching, a video on Brycheon, and it was about a priest doing an exorcism, talking to a demon that says that the death vaccine consecrates the vaccinated to Satan. So that means there's no turning back, even if people that are getting vaxxed only have one vaccine, one shot in them. I mean, it's already too late. You can't get these clot shots out, period, or no vaccine.
It's funny you say. I'm sorry, dude. It's funny you say that. I have that video bookmarked to watch it today. I just found it last night on Jim Stone's site. This is what I was talking about with the God gene. I talked about this a week ago on Dan's show about how they're going after what they claim they found is called the God gene.
Okay, let me read what it says. So this Father Savas asks, I would like to present to you a personal testimony of a priest monk who made the mistake of getting vaxxed. This is his confession. If anyone wants to know his name, I can tell you privately. He is a priest under Archbishop Iromos of Greece. I will be reading directly from the publication, which fortunately it is still on the internet. With a few words, I will relate my experience after taking my first dosage of the Pfizer vaccine. God obstructed me with many signs before taking the vaccine. Due to shortness in time, I will not mention all of them. As I was heading towards the vaccination center, right before I was getting into the Q, I felt something was obstructing my approach. As I approached, I felt or smelled a stench that surprised me, said the monk, Father Savas. You see, God cautioned him, and he still went ahead. Quote, while I was taking the vaccine, others were waiting outside. As I was leaving, I was unable to wear my Kalimafi priest hat. I felt a great shame within myself and left holding my Kalimafi in my hands, Father Savas. As you can see, he began to feel the demonic influence right away, as he was ashamed to wear his Kalimafi even though he is a priest. Quote, arriving home, I went to the bathroom to wash my face. Upon looking at the mirror, I was frightened at my face due to the expression I had. The next day, I went shopping at the supermarket, and since it is still the period after Pascha, before the leave-taking, I would normally greet the shopkeepers with Christos Anesti, Christ is risen, or respond, Alithos Anesti, indeed he is risen. Father Savas. So, as you know, for 40 days and after the resurrection, we refrain from saying hello, good day, and replace the phrase with Christ is risen. And the other Christian should respond, Alithos Anesti, and not say likewise. As a priest monk, I was surprised to discover that I was very ashamed to say Christos Anesti to the shopkeepers. This greatly overwhelmed me. Father Savas. He began to realize more intensely that something was not going well in his soul. A day later I went and attended a divine service at a local church, but not to liturgize the service as the priest. Upon entering the altar, I felt as if I was dead. I'm not going to keep reading, but luckily, I couldn't understand the language on that video, Keith, so I decided to print all the sounds, just a few pages. But this is what happens when you take that vaccine or the clot shot. Something happens to your mind, your body, the whole thing, and you know that you're going to feel different. Now, with all that said, you all can do your research on this, but let me tell you something. Pastor Dan already knows this, and someone else does too. About 2 months ago, I wasn't here for the funeral of my young nephew. He was double vaccinated. He died of that clot shot. The day before he collapsed on the train station, he told his father that he had a massive headache. I mean, strong headache on his head. And then the father told him, well, would you like me to make you some coffee? And this is what I heard. Would you like me to make you some coffee? And he responded, yes. And then supposedly the headache went away according to what I was told. And then the next day, well, he ended up in the hospital. And after a few days, I was told by his other brother that he was dead in a text message. But I didn't attend his funeral. I was in Jacksonville at the time. But this is what it does. Let me tell you,
ever since he started on a different path in life, and then it got worse when he took those vaccines. He had been in trouble with the law for quite a while, and I have seen mugshots on him. I think the last mugshot I had, because he was in jail, because he got caught, he was literally smiling in the picture. And this was after he got that clot shot. This is how sick my young late nephew was. And this is what these vaccines are going to do. I will fight tooth and nail. I don't care if my mother says, oh, you shouldn't have resigned your job. You should have just kept going. And I'll tell her, well, Mom, they're going to fire me anyway. Why not just leave? Or wait till they give me a last day. Maybe I could do that. But I'm not going to take that clot shot. I had a nephew. I did have a nephew. He had problems, but I can remember the good times I had with him. I held him as a baby in my arms. But, man, forget about it. Anybody who's been vaccinated just by one shot, that's it. My sister, I got through, my mother, she's reliable. My sister supposedly has one shot in her. I don't know if she has been double vaccinated or not, but she has one, that one shot. And when she got here, I spoke with her. I offered her to help her with the funeral expenses. And Pastor Dan knows the backstory about this. I'm not going to get into it. And then she told me, I don't need anything from you.
Yeah. These people's personalities are changing. My wife was visiting her parents a few weeks back, and I think I mentioned this already a couple of shows back. And her dad is a soft-spoken, kind Christian man, and now his personality is flipped to 180. He's very angry, and she doesn't know who her father is anymore.
Wow. My Navy buddy told me his girlfriend's brother is exhibiting the same kind of behavior, and I think it was 2 to 3 weeks ago he also was double vaccinated or got the second one, and his behavior is completely abnormal. And it's happening to a lot of folks. I get calls, like I said, almost every day. I'm on the phone quite a bit with people telling me what's happening in their lives. And I just shake my head. It's like, what don't people see? And even without the people getting ill and dying, why would you trust somebody like Anthony Fauci? Why would you trust any government agency that lies continually? I just don't get it. I mean, I woke up in the 1970s as a very young man when I saw the lies about Vietnam. I was in the military. I know they lied. They lied continually. I got out of the military, go into the civilian electrical generation industry, and the newspapers lied about that every single day. Because I was there, I saw it with my own eyes. I couldn't believe the papers would lie so much. So yeah. It's like I'm sitting here going, that was 50 years ago. That's a half a century. And it was obvious the government is lying to us every single day. Why 50 years later am I still watching my brothers and sisters debate whether they should trust these sons of bitches? I just don't get it. I really, truly don't get it. I don't think I'm that special. I really don't. I got people saying I am. They say you're smart, Dan, or you walk with the Father. And I'm just shaking my head. I'm going, no. I'm a simple little farm boy that grew up on a farm, poor. I'm nothing special. This should be something obvious to anybody. I mean, you literally have to turn your back on logic, truth, and the Almighty. You literally have to force yourself to disobey the Creator to not be able to see this. That's why I have no empathy. I've told family and friends, please don't call me if you want empathy, because I have none left. It's gone. That battery has been discharged. I don't have it. I can only imagine what a righteous creator sitting on a throne, why has he not pushed the button and flushed us down the toilet? I don't understand. If I'm this pissed off, how much rage could he have? He creates this beautiful world and these magnificent bodies that we have, and look what we have done. Why are we still here? If it were me, you all would be gone, and so would I. I would have pushed the button. Thank God he keeps a promise that a righteous remnant will come through this. I would have hit the reset button a long time ago, because I'm going to be honest, it's hard to find anybody worth saving. It really is. It is difficult. And I mean that amongst my family and everybody else. I'm being plainly honest. It is hard as hell to see anybody worth saving. They make excuses for every freaking thing they do. Every weakness they have, they've got an excuse. Why they're out of shape. Why they got poor health. Why they have to put a diaper on their face. Why they got to stick a poison that's known to cause harm in their arm. They've got excuse after excuse after excuse. I just sit back and I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But I sit back and I go, why has he not pushed the button? Am I crazy or what? Go ahead, Keith.
You're correct. Everything you said is spot on. We're in big trouble here. I hate to chuckle about it, but I walk around chuckling all day long because I can't believe this is happening still, and that these people are complete. How you cannot, Dan, like you, how you cannot see this is beyond my comprehension. As you said, Dan, I'm just a regular guy. I live in a regular house, regular job, regular, you know, no Mensa member here, no high, super high Q member here. And I can't figure it out. What is wrong with these people? They cannot accept the true reality, because if they accept the reality, they have to come to the conclusion that their whole life has been one big lie, which it has been. This is very difficult for people to accept. I accepted it years ago. But these people have invested everything. They've invested in their career, right? Their career. I love the career people. A fucking career? Are you kidding me? A career? What? Your career? What does that even mean? Nonsense is what it means.
That's exactly what it means. It's all full of nonsense. I'm all full of lies. And these careers, this is John speaking, and these careers that these people do with their careers ends up being something sour by the time they're done with their career, or they switch from one career to another. There's, I mean, nothing out there today. The jobs, whatever jobs are left, they're not a place that we want to go to anymore. I mean, people are not happy there.
They're worried about retirement? Are you kidding me? Retirement? People my age are thinking about retirement? What retirement? You're in a war.
Well,
you're worried about your 401k and your freaking whatever else you got? Are you
kidding
me? We're
going to find out soon. We're going to find out soon. Very soon. I think with all these deaths coming up, more deaths, I think they're going to go into a stock market crash, whatever the hell it is. We're going to find out soon who is really going to be crying about their 401k or their money in the bank or whatever. I think they're going to get raided, too. Our bank accounts are going to get raided for some bailout. Last time I heard it was the next time a bailout happens, it's going to be inside, and basically they're going to take money out of our bank accounts. How they're going to do it? Well, they got the technology to do it. Now, I wanted to say something. Have all of you noticed? I know I have. Pastor Dan has too. Noticed all over the country how people are driving their cars, pickup trucks, SUVs, and now you see more people getting into wrecks and everything. I've seen more people tailgating me. Have you all noticed that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's that lack of courtesy and rudeness in people. And again, if they're vaccinated, that would explain it. But they've been doing that for a while now. It's like Keith said, and I think, John, you might have mentioned it too. The work ethic today is practically gone. It's all entitlement. Everybody owes me. I should be allowed to sit on my ass and watch video games and play games all day long, and somebody still owes me a house, a car, clothes on my back, food on my table. I'm owed that. So the work ethic is practically gone. Rudeness is the thing of the day. No common courtesy. So you take it, society's been pushing it for a while, but then you add the effects from this poison, and society literally is becoming hellish out there. That's what we're witnessing. And along with what Keith said here, what's it take to make people understand we are in a spiritual war, okay? We are also in an actual war in that we have a communist insurgency going on in every white nation on earth. It is an outright communist insurgency hiding behind a fake medical emergency. Okay? It's completely fake. But they are accomplishing all of the manifesto, communist manifesto points, which were practically all in place anyway. But they're nailing the final nails into our coffin right now. The final nails for a complete communist takeover. So my question is, since that's not even debatable, this is exactly what's happening. My question is, who in his right mind thinks that anything from 5 to 15 years ago that we called, quote, normal, including what you talked about, Keith, the whole retirement pension funds and all these things that the Antichrist got us lured into a sense of, quote, security, they all have strings attached back to the beast. All of them do. So my question is, who thinks that on the other side of this communist takeover, if we lose in this fight and they take over, who in his right mind thinks the communists are going to honor any of those programs? Am I crazy or what? I mean, isn't it pretty patently obvious the communists never fulfill anything for the sheep or the slaves once they take over? There'll be none of those things in place. So why do people hang on to them when we're in a war that if we don't win, if we don't pull together and win this thing and take these communists out and execute them like they deserve to be, the answer is that they win and you will have absolutely nothing resembling the world that you're hanging on to. Nothing. Go read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's books, folks. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. You're used to everything being video or audio for you because you're lazy sons of bitches. You really are. Pick up the goddamn book and read it. All right? And don't be telling me, well, my mom and dad don't make me do that stuff, Dan. Yeah, I know your mom and dad have fallen down on the job. We lost the idea of what parenting's all about a couple generations ago. Thank God I grew up old school where my elders and my parents had no problem kicking my ass. Thank the Father above that I was raised by old school white men and women who had no problem telling me, Dan, you're out of line. One more time and you're going to get an ass whooping. Or if they caught me in the middle of something, I felt the boot right up my ass. You know what? It's not so bad. They didn't hurt me. I have no broken bones. I'm the healthiest 68-year-old I know. So where do you come off with this? Well, you can't touch them, Dan. Okay, the Bible says don't spare the rod. Oh, that's right. You don't give a damn about the Bible. You say you're a believer, but really, are you? You don't give a damn about it. It says set the law down for these kids. They're an empty book. They're a computer with a blank hard drive. You set the rules, Mom and Dad. Not television, not the hook-nosed Jew in Hollywood. You do. Stop being such a baby with these kids. No wonder they have no respect for us. I respected my father till I was 18 years old. Literally feared my father until I was 18. Feared him. And I talked to him 5-6 years later after I got out of the Air Force. We had a man-to-man chat. I said, Dad, how come you didn't think about being my buddy? Why didn't you want to, like, play ball with me or coddle me or what? He goes, he looked at me and he said, boy, where did you get a notion like that? My job wasn't to be your friend. My job was to instill fear in you, to keep your ass out of trouble and keep you alive until you got old enough and smart enough to do it for yourself. I thought it was kind of cruel back then, but now 50 years later, he was smart. He was wise, and it's the truth. Children don't understand. They're not capable of understanding. What they need is a strong set of rules being held over their head by somebody who will enforce them. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people, I don't know why my children just don't behave. It's because all you do is talk. If you don't apply the rod, they know all they got to do is outlast you, and as soon as you're done talking, they can go right back to whatever they were doing. Guess what? That doesn't work. Guess what does work? Exactly what the book says. But, oh, that's right. We don't read the book, and we don't know what's in the book. And then we do know what's in the book, we don't follow it anyway because we know better. We have the God of television. We have the God of government. We have virtually anything telling us what to do except the guy that actually made us. We got another caller from California. Hold on a minute. Turn this into a real free-for-all. Okay, Elka and Gary, how you doing?
Good. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, good. I'm not sure if my microphone works. I love this 2 Peter 3. Because the Lord answers why he's slow, but it says the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and it did, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And that's all I wanted to read. And I just want to give you a little story, what's going on. My husband, Gary, some of you heard him on the radio, he had to be in the hospital. I just couldn't lift him up anymore, and he was always sleeping, and I didn't know what was going on. Of course, they did a COVID test, so just before we signed, I had him sign things that we don't want any remdesivir in incubator. So the first doctor, after 3 days, he got home. And he even prescribed zinc. I was able to communicate, and I said, every time you try to prescribe something new, I need to be called. And he cooperated. So he got a little oxygen, and then he got home. But then the same thing happened, and they tested him for the crud. And, of course, he has pneumonia. And I got affected too, and we know where we got it. I did the spit test, and of course it was positive. So what happened is they gave him superflow oxygen, and his vocal cords are all messed up, but I don't know if that's from coughing or so. I'll try to find out. So that's the second doctor was not very cooperative, but I asked hard questions. I even got through the administration, complained about the emergency doctor because he was very, very rude and tried to, okay, he has COVID. And I said, how do you know? And has it been separated? And I asked him all these questions. Of course, he couldn't answer it. So the first one was very still and listened. So when they do that, I think they're aware of it. And the third one who finally discharged him was really pale. And but they did call me, and he said, well, he's doing better. So he did get out into a nursing home. I just picked him, or last week he got out. So he's home now. Thank God. I had a lot of people praying, and he seems like he's getting better. But there are other things happening now. And my brain always goes, did they give him the shot, or did they put something down his throat? And I don't know. So I'm just watching him and hope he gets better. So I need prayer from you guys. And one thing, last Saturday I had I went to visit. I only could visit outside. He was in the COVID unit, and he opened the patio door. So the one of these young girls, they were mainly foreigners. I call them foreigners. They're not one of our race. They noticed it, and then the next day she said, you only have 20 minutes and supervised. And I said, never signed a contract to do that. So she called her supervisor, and I didn't leave. And I said, that's not the law. Your policies cannot supersede the law. So, but why I blame myself, why I talk to stupid. And then they called the police. I called first to see if they would help. Of course not. But they did. They wanted to help the facility. And so they came very courteous. And I said, did you swear an oath to the Constitution? And they said yes, but they couldn't do anything. And he said, well, I have that problem too with my folks. So he was very understanding. And then he said, what could I do for you? And I said, well, if you follow the oath, what you would do, you open the gate that they didn't open for me, and guide me to my husband. And of course he didn't do it. And they were calm, and I was calm, and all of a sudden my husband came out with a wheelchair out of it was a sliding patio door, and he came to the gate, and they didn't do anything, no mask, nothing. And there he was, and I was able to talk to him over the gate. So God has a sense of humor. And then the policeman said, well, do you want to say goodbye to your husband? And there I was, and the nurses and some of these foreigners were looking around and just wondering, why doesn't the police arrest me? And I asked him, what about the trespassing charge? Oh, don't worry about it. So, you know, God is good. And I knew the next day he will be coming home, because I already put in discharge papers. And so he got home on Monday. So that's what's going on here. Just sorry I was so winded, but I wanted to give you an update on us. And please keep on praying. So thank you.
Absolutely, Elka. Yahweh bless your heart. We'll keep you in prayer. So say hello to Gary for us, would you?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
All right. That's Elka and Gary out there in San Diego. I hope people are paying attention as Elka was telling us what's going on out there. I don't know how to stress this even stronger. All right. People, stay the hell out of the hospitals and clinics if you're able to. Now, in Elka's case, she couldn't do it. But if you have any way that you can stay the hell out of them, stay out of them. once you put yourself in there, you're at their mercy. And they do not allow loved ones to stay around the clock like they used to in the old days. Like, I know folks here in the Cuban community near Miami. I have some good friends amongst those folks. And they told me that their tradition is nobody stays overnight in a hospital or a clinic without a family member by their side all the time. They know not to trust the doctors and nurses. Okay? My son almost died, and I was sleeping in the room with him, staying there 24 hours a day. And thank God I was, or he would have died of diabetic shock. Okay? So I saw that up close and personal. I just lost one of my favorite cousins, who was the closest to me in age and disposition. I lost him a few months ago. And I swear it's because they stuck that shit in his arm when no family was there to protect him. And he died. He should have come home. The day before he was to come home from the hospital, he was doing so good. And then all of a sudden we get the call he's dead. I don't know how much more plain it has to be. These aren't secondhand stories we're giving here, folks. These are firsthand testimonies. Unless you think we're making this stuff up. And I sure as hell hope that anybody that's listening to me knows I don't make shit up. I don't. I'm speaking to you from the heart. I have no purpose or reason and no agenda. None. I don't want your money. I don't want your physical possessions. I don't need them, and I don't want them. I want you to pay something, though. I want you to pay attention. The words I give you are given to me. This system is evil. There's an occasional one out there you might get some goodness from, but the system itself is predicated on making money. They don't give a damn about your health and your loved ones. It's to make money. And a long time ago, the Holy Spirit told me, take care of your body, Daniel, because they're not going to. And do not rely on them or insurance. That's why I've never owned health insurance. And I don't have any life insurance because the insurance companies are owned by my enemy. And I'm not going to support them, and I'm not going to trust them to do what they say they'll do. They want you to, though. It's the same reason why I would not allow them to put their poison in my body. I don't trust them. Why are you? I have to ask, why at this stage in this game are you trusting these people? Why? With a track record as abysmal as theirs is, why would you trust them? If I had a track record 1/100th as bad as theirs, you wouldn't be listening to me, but you're listening to them. Are we that brainwashed that just because somebody like Fauci comes in front of a camera and sometimes has a white smock on and a emblem that you think makes him something special, you're going to listen to this toad? Even though everything out of his mouth is mishmash, contradiction and lies, endlessly. I actually think our brains don't work anymore. The average person walking around, I think, has lost the ability to think. And I believe, as Ezekiel told us, that we are in a valley full of dead and dry bones. Well, no, Dan, I don't see any dead bodies out here. No, silly. It means spiritually dead. Ezekiel wasn't talking about skeletons. He's talking about people with bags of bones, but no spirit and no discernment. Relying on the most unreliable sources for information, namely flat screens that are controlled by your enemies. Unbelievable. Keith, you got anything more?
Yes, the image of the beast that talks.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So, excuse me. Yeah, Dan, you make good points, and Elka, I'm sorry to hear about your family and your husband there. Guys, it's going to be very tough for people coming up here, especially the older folks of our people. The medical industry in the U.S., I'm sure the same thing is happening over in Europe, is being decimated by these vaccine mandates. Tens of thousands of nurses and doctors are walking off the job. Okay, so I don't know what's going to take place here, but if you get sick, good luck. That's all I can say, and I don't say that in a mean way. I say that sincerely. Good luck. You better pray awfully hard coming up here that you don't get ill or become ill. Now is the time. If you haven't thought about taking care of your health, now is the time. You can start right now. That bacon cheeseburger you're going to eat for lunch, don't eat it. Okay, the chips you were going to inhale later on today, throw them away. Take all that stuff, take all the chips out of your cupboards, throw them in the garbage. They are killing you slowly. And guys, we cannot afford to get sick now. Get on a vitamin regimen. Let me preface this first. I'm not a doctor. I don't give medical advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't give financial advice. I can just tell you what I do and relay it to you. Get on a vitamin regimen. If you don't know what vitamin regimen to get on, go to Dr. Mercola's site. He's got great information on vitamins. He's an actual doctor. He can give you advice. Don't listen to me on this, but just go there. If you don't eat healthy already, you better start. Well, it doesn't taste good. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, because if you continue to eat the way you're eating, you're killing yourself. Get off these pharmaceutical medications. People say, well, I need that pharmaceutical medication. The doctor says I need it. Your doctor's a freaking liar. And he's now a murderer. So go to a naturopath health. Don't just stop these medications cold turkey. You're going to need to find a naturopathic health professional to help you get off these medications. Well, I need these medications. No, you don't. Okay, the problem is you eat like a slob. That's the problem. Okay, you drink 48-ounce vats of soda from the 7-Eleven, and you wonder why you're unhealthy. Okay, so go get help by a naturopath. Get off the medications. Get off the garbage food. Sorry to be so harsh this morning, guys, but again, our time is extremely short. And I just want to switch gears here for a minute to give people some helpful, positive information, since most of this morning's program has been what is going to take place, and that you better pull your head out of your ass and wake the hell up. No one's coming to save you. With that said, you will starve to death if you're not prepared. I don't say this lightly. Power outages are coming. They're coming to Europe right now. RT, with blackouts looming, German government holds disaster preparation day, promotes cooking without electricity. They're holding in Bonn, Germany. They're holding events of how to cook when a long power failure comes. They're going to cut the electric in Europe, and they're going to cut the electric in the United States. They tell you right here they're going to do it. I don't know why people don't believe these people, what they write in their news. Okay, I know they're lying thieves and murderers, but every once in a while they do tell the truth. And remember, guys, this is a legal system you live under. God's got a legal system he rules over, right? This is all legalities. They have to tell you what they're going to do. Okay, and they tell you in their news programs and their news articles. That's why I never understood, and I used to tell people to throw away their TV. I don't believe that anymore. I think you need to watch your TV to understand what these people are going to do to you. They tell you, to you what they're going to do on the news to you. Okay, once you understand the psychological programming, you can't be struck by it anymore. And I know that, well, I'm hoping all of you in the chat here and who are regular listeners of Dan's program understand the psychological programming. If you don't, it's too late. Okay, it's too late. So moving on. So let me start this section here. From the FBI, U.S. murder rate increases 29% in 2020. Did you hear what I just said? The U.S. murder rate, according to the FBI, increased 29% in 2020. Okay? So with that said, here's some helpful advice to you. I hope you follow this advice. You need to have what's called situational awareness wherever you go from now on. Okay, if you're running to the grocery store, if you're going to the post office, hell, if you're driving aimlessly around the streets going shopping, which I hope none of you are doing. Okay, but if you are going shopping for a new fall outfit or new sneakers that you don't need because you already got 12 pairs in your closet, here's what you need to be aware of. When you come up to a stoplight in your car and there's cars in front of you, better write this down. You need to stop with enough distance in the car in front of you and either be in the left lane or the far right lane, not in the middle lane. So you come to a stop sign or a stop light, you need to be either in the left lane or the right lane, never in the middle lane. You need to stop so there's enough room in between you and the car in front of you. So if you have to get out of there because you're going to be carjacked by some jungle monkey, then you have to be able to get out of there quickly. Don't try and be a hero. Just get out of the situation. That's situational awareness tip number one. When you come up to a stoplight and you're in the right or left lane and you've parked a proper distance away, do not grab your telephone and start looking at your text messages or your Facebook feeds. Look around you. I know you're going to start seeing homeless people on the street around your stoplights. Don't think these people are harmless. They might have a weapon on them and haven't been able to eat for 2 days. You need to be aware of your surroundings at all times. If you make it to the grocery store without an incident, you need to park away from people in the parking lot. I know a lot of you are so lazy that you go pull up front because you're looking for a spot. You'll drive up 8 or 9 different alleyway parking lanes looking for the guy pulling out so you can get the spot up front. Forget about that. Park in the back of the lot. Okay, because you're going to have – it's already taking place. There's already reports of people being robbed outside of grocery stores when they get to their car. Okay, so – you don't want to be around a lot of people or around a lot of vehicles, okay, because it gets confusing of your surroundings. You need to have your car parked far away so that way you can track as you're walking out of the grocery store. You can be looking left, right, and behind you. And, yeah, you might look like a paranoid idiot, but I would rather look like a paranoid idiot than a dumb, dead lemming in the parking lot from one of these jungle monkeys who are going to come and rob you. So park far away. When you get to your car, be aware of your surroundings. Don't just load your groceries. Load a bag in, check out your surroundings. This might sound like paranoia, but you better become paranoid. Okay? So that takes care of the grocery store. When you're in the grocery store, be aware of your surroundings inside the grocery store. Be aware with people, some states you can open carry. I don't know about all states, but you can open carry. Be aware who's open carrying in the store. Okay?
I'd like to interject for just a minute.
Go ahead.
This is John here in Miami. I have found that the best time to shop at a grocery store or even to get your gas for your car or pickup truck or whatever, the best time to do that is just after, in the early morning hours when they open. There's less people in there. You go in,
get what you need, and get out. But yes, be aware of your surroundings, even in the early morning. Stay away from shopping for your food at night.
Joe, great point. Yeah, if you can do your shopping early in the morning, when they first open, prime time to go. Because remember, criminals who want to kill you for your food are normally, they normally sleep late because they're getting drunk the night before.
yeah, they do. Not only that, if you need to mail a letter, oh my God, what's going on here? Okay, hello?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, I thought I'd lost contact. Not only that, if you need to mail a letter out, do it right after. I know, depending on if you got to wear a mask or not, don't have to. Or you can go to the post office, just put in the blue mailbox, it's a stamp or whatever. You can also order your stamps online. You don't have to go in there. Order them online if you can and get them now. But that would be the best time to go to the post office is in the early morning hours after they open up. And yes, park. Far away. Don't go up front as, oh, I want to get close to the post office. I don't have to walk that far. No. Just park. If you're still in good physical and mental condition, walk. You need the exercise anyway. Park far back just enough so you can go in there, take care of your business, and get out. The same with your doctors. I know there are people that have to see their doctors, but the doctor, the dentist, you want to go get your hair cut. Ladies, you need to go to the beauty parlor if you want to do that too. Do it in their early morning hours. That's when you do all the personal stuff. That's basically what I'm saying. Do your shopping or whatever you got to do in the early morning hours. Because what Keith just said now, yeah, after the criminals are out there getting drunk and they're sleeping late and maybe they can't do anything now, they can't rob in the morning, they're so tired, but they're looking for somebody to rob the previous night, they couldn't find anyone. The time to do it is in those hours, a good time, because you're also going to want witnesses around you. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and okay. Also take advantage of these companies like Instacart where they deliver your groceries to your house. You put the order in online. You might pay, guys, you might pay $10 more. Okay, but $10 is probably worth your safety. I would imagine it is. Maybe some of you it's not. I don't know your financial situation, but if you can order through Instacart, have your groceries delivered to your house, do that. Okay, this is going to become very serious coming up. Remember, unemployment benefits ran out. People are getting desperate. They're losing their jobs. So be aware. To go along with this grocery store thing, anything like that, just be aware of your surroundings, even outside your home. Be aware who lives in your neighborhood. Okay, take notice of the cars that are parked in your neighborhood. Have you seen that car before? Why are those two people sitting in that car? Are they lost? Are they looking at a map? Or are they looking around, scoping out the area? Okay. Again, this might sound like paranoia, but you better start getting paranoid. We're in a serious situation here. Okay? So, be aware of your surroundings in your own neighborhood. Did a new neighbor just move in down the road? What's his attitude towards things? Is he a COVID psychopath who believes everything the news says? Or is he kind of a normal guy who kind of doesn't care? Or does he know what you know? Go quiz him. Go talk with them. Introduce yourself to them. Don't tell them what you have. Don't tell them you're armed to the teeth and you got 6 months worth of food. It's none of his business. But ask him questions to get an idea of where his head is at. If he's a complete COVID idiot, you know to stay away from him. He's very dangerous. He's unprepared. And when the crap hits the fan, he's going to come looking for food from you. Okay? Because he has none. So know who's in your neighborhood. Are these cars supposed to be here? Who are these people? Okay, be aware of your own neighborhood. Okay, before, guys, I know I'm a little bit paranoid, but that's okay. I prefer to live in a paranoid state nowadays. Before, when I open up my garage door, I don't just walk outside the garage. I stand in my garage for a minute. And then I proceed to go outside, and I'm scanning the area in front of my house. to make sure nobody's around who could be a danger to me and my family. Okay? So be aware of where you're at, even if you're on your own property. Okay? As far as, you know, I know a lot of people are worried or they get concerned about this enemy knowing who they are online, who they are, you know, their name, so forth and so on, where they live. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Anybody who's been in Dan's chats here, anybody who has made comments on YouTube, anyone who has made comments on Google or any Facebooks or any social media, any news sites you've commented in the comment section, the enemy knows exactly who you are and exactly where you live and exactly what you're about. They have a whole dossier on you in their AI computers. So, with that said, if you start to see high-profile people, such as, I don't know, Mike Adams, Jeff Rentz, David Icke, so forth and so on, you know the types I'm talking about, the whole high-profile conspiracy people are speaking out against this COVID deal. If they start disappearing, you know the enemy came to get them and killed them. Okay? I don't know how many of you have listened to a program or a talk, not even a talk, a warning given out by a gentleman named David Goldberg. Yes, I know he's one of the tribe, okay, but then again, I told you already, they lie 99% of the time, but that 1%, you better pay attention to what they say. David Goldberg, apparently, you can find on archive.org. Dan, you familiar with David Goldberg's speech or warning?
A long time ago, yeah.
Okay, so he mentioned something called Project Zephyr and Project Pegasus, I believe. This is where they are going to come and round up the dissidents. They are coming for you. So if you've ever made a comment on websites, I've been through 20 different names on YouTube because I kept on getting banned. Okay? I've been through 20 different names on various news sites because I kept on getting banned. Finally, I just said, screw, I'm done with this. I'm done with it. But they know who I am. They know who Dan is. They know who all you are. I suggest you prepare accordingly. Remember that plan I spoke about 2 weeks ago, the plan at your house when they come to your door? I suggest that you have that plan ready and implemented and into place. Because when they come to the door, guess what? It's too late if you have no plan. Okay, so they are tracking you by your IP addresses, as someone wrote in the chat here. Yes, people think that you can scramble your IP address with a VPN. Guys, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The VPNs that are available out there and the so-called anonymous emails like Proton Mail, okay, these are not secure. The enemy owns all of these. So if you think your VPN is secure and there's no back door to find out where you're at within 5 feet of your home, you are living in fantasy Alice in Wonderland world. Okay? If you believe that Proton Mail is safe, you are living in a fantasy world. I use Proton Mail because it's one of the safest to use. And plus, Google and Yahoo block lots of emails that people try to send because of the content now. So don't believe that these things are safe and secure. Anytime you are on a cell phone, they are listening in and recording every conversation. All of your cameras on your computers and your TVs are all in operational order. Okay? If you have these Alexa things in your home where you say, Google, please play John Mellencamp's album. Okay? That is on all the time. They are listening to you all the time. It's being fed through an AI computer. The AI computer spits out into a database that goes under your number. Okay, your social security number probably, or your birth certificate number, either one of those, all this information is being stored for use against you in the future. So with that said, what should you do? Well, you should continue to do what you're doing, warning people, telling our people what's coming, okay? Warn them. They're not going to wake up, but at least you got no blood on your hands when the shit hits the fan and they all wind up dead, okay? So know that they're coming for you. It's just a matter of time, whether they come for you in 6 months or they come for you in 3 years. They will come for you. Now, those of you who still think this is a game and we're fooling around here and that you can reason with this, these creatures who own you and who own this place, you're highly mistaken. Okay? They are coming for you, and they will take you and your family to a camp. You never leave the home. I don't care what you have to do. You might have to take drastic measures with you and your family. I'm not going to say what those drastic measures are, but if you think about it, you can probably figure out what I'm getting at. Be prepared, okay, is all I'm saying. Getting back to your neighbors, none of them can be trusted. The only people you can trust are people who understand 100% what is going on. If these
ain't that the truth? You can't trust your own neighbors. Hey, maybe you can't trust family members. Some family members. Think about that too. Right. That's it.
If these people believe that it's the liberals and the Democrats, and they are still caught in the political game, they are extremely dangerous to you and your family. Extremely dangerous. Okay? So be aware of who your neighbors are, but do not trust them. Remember, guys, they have no food stored up. They have maybe one security firearm with 50 rounds of ammo. Okay, it's probably 22 ammo, right, with a little pistol. That's basically getting bit by a friggin', mosquito bite half the time, unless it hits you in the right spot. Okay, so you need to get firepower if you don't have it. Buy the biggest security firearm you can afford. Hell, if I could afford a 50 cal rifle, I would have one at my house now.
Hey, Keith?
Yeah.
Let me interject real quick. I saw an article pop back up on my screen that I had read some time ago along the lines of what you're just talking about. The most affordable, most versatile weapon out there that anybody can get today is a 12-gauge shotgun. Because it is simple, a pump shotgun especially, is very simple, it is very inexpensive, and it has a large number of different kinds of ammunition it can use. So mark that down as a must for virtually every home, because it's so inexpensive and has so many very good types of ammunition for it. Back to you.
Yep, and remember, you're acting in self-defense. If any of you believe that you are going, when the crap hits the fan, which is coming, I've already warned you, it's coming very soon. When the crap hits the fan on the streets, and if you truly believe that you are going to go out there like Rambo, you are highly mistaken. My advice, and you can take everything I say with a grain of salt if you want, not believe a word I say, think I'm crazy or whatever. You're going to go be Rambo and you're going to go kill whoever you're going to kill. I don't know who you're going to go kill. Good luck with that. You better stay in your home and defend your property. Let all of the picnic patriots and all the, assorted others who still believe that the court system is going to save them because they're going to take all these things to court, okay, even though the court's owned by the enemies. Okay, all the my America, you ain't coming for my guns. Honey, can you get my mask? I got to go outside. Right? Okay? You ain't coming for my guns. Get my mask for me. Okay, all those picnic patriots, they're all going to wind up dead in the street. First of all, none of them have any training. Second of all, most are 400 pounds overweight with high blood pressure and diabetes. Okay, and have chicken wing juice on their shirt and beer spilled on their pants from last night. They're going to go fight in the street? Who are they going to go fight? So my suggestion to you is you stay at home. That's why you need your food. That's why you need your water. Okay, so you can stay put, wait for the dust to clear. Then when the dust is cleared, then it's time to see what is left. I have a feeling there ain't going to be much left. But that's a whole different topic that we don't have time to get into today. So that's my advice to people. Don't play Rambo. You're not Rambo. You're an overweight, high blood pressure, middle-aged man who's completely out of shape. You might think you're in shape, but you're not. So don't play Rambo. I'm begging you not to go play Rambo. I know everybody wants to be the hero. Everybody wants to do this. Everybody wants to do that. Now, with that said, if they come to your home, now we have a different story. But if you have that plan I talked about in place, there's no guessing until the first shot's fired. Then the plan goes out the window. Okay? But if they come to your house, remember one thing. If everything over the past 2 hours, if you just remember this one thing today that I've said, it's going to save your life. Remember, if they come to your house, I don't care who it is, whether they're a FEMA official, whether they are a so-called Health and Human Services official, whether they're a cop or a National Guard member, if you just remember this one simple thing, and here it is. They are coming to your home to kill you and your family. Do you understand? Dan, over to you. I'm sorry to yell.
No, that's all right, buddy. It's the times we live in, and sometimes you've got to get your point made. Yeah. Good advice. I made my mind up what my plan was many years ago when I started this radio show. I've been expecting it for 22 years, so I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's good advice. Sheltering in place is what they call it. I think that is also good advice. I believe that fits with Scripture and the Holy Spirit as well, that when the turmoil comes, it's going to be better just to stay out of the way. It's Yahweh's judgment upon this world. Just like Noah and his family, did they see the judgment? Yes, they did. Did the judgment affect their day-to-day life? And sure did, but it didn't touch them, did it? So Psalm 91, warriors out there, especially you guys that sent your soldiers ransom, also, for those few folks out there that help us out, I want to say thank you to them. I wanted to read a couple things our retired nurse, Ella, sent to me. She says here, the first two clot shots take down the white blood cells, which are your immune system, and the booster shots, just lost it, hold on a minute. The booster shots are the disease. They will bring havoc. Proverbs 13:24. Hate the son by sparing the rod. That's a reference to something I was talking about earlier. Revelation 16, verse 13, the three frogs of the wicked Jerusalem, Fauci, Gates, and Trump. And what will people do when the pharmacies are shut down? So, again, talking about what you said, Keith, you know, we should get off the pharmaceuticals if we can at all possibility, use naturopathic ways. I don't know of anything that the pharmaceutical world does that cannot be duplicated naturally. I personally don't. Maybe somebody has better information than I do, but I know I don't take any pharmaceuticals whatsoever. I have no plans on taking any pharmaceuticals at any time. So, I will do everything I have to do to stay as natural as I can, and that's just the way I've been, and it's worked for me. As Keith says, I'm not giving any kind of advice to anybody on any issue. I'm simply stating what the Father's told me, what I've read in the book, and what I've lived my life as, and that's it. I'm just sharing that information. You do what's fit for you in your world, folks, because you're going to stand in front of the Father. I'm not going to be there for you. I have nothing to do with that. You're going to stand there all by yourself. I'm going to make a quick round to some of our callers here for last comments, and then we'll close this one up. Randy, did you have anything you wanted to add, buddy?
It's been another
all this really just really good information, people. I mean, this is what we've been preparing for. Yahweh told us to do it, and in the end of the day, he's the only one that's ever told us the truth. So praise Yahweh.
Yep. Amen. Thanks a lot, Randy. Yahweh bless, buddy. How about you, John?
Yes. I believe in being prepared always, and I'm doing the best that I can here. I'm doing everything I can to even keep my mother alive, even though I can't lead her to the water. I mean, she's not vaccinated or clot shotted. Thank Yahweh for that. But the arguments are really crazy between me and her. But I hope that when this crap hits the fan in the next couple of months with all these people dying off, that there will be a whole lot more people. I'm going to say maybe millions upon millions upon millions more waking up that have not taken that clot shot. And those that have, that are actually sorry that they took it, I hope that they can wake up and ask Yahweh to forgive him or her that took those clot shots. Because this clot shot is literally very satanic. And it's a curse upon the person that took it. Oh, by the way, Keith, I'm sorry I interrupted you just a few minutes ago. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Thanks a lot, John. Yahweh bless and bless your family and all your activities to try to help people. So stay strong, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right, Keith.
Yeah, stay strong. That's what we need to do because coming up here, again, it's not going to get any better. Okay, it's only going to get worse. As you can see, it's getting worse. Just take the ships offshore like we talked about earlier. There was 33 ships. Now there's over 70 ships. Do you see it getting better? No, it's getting progressively worse. And this winter time, it's going to be unfortunate, but I think we're going to see a lot of people dying from this El Jabo here. And they're going to combine that with an economic collapse of some sorts and firing people from their jobs and fining companies almost $1 million for unvaccinated people at their workplace. So look out. And I'll just leave you guys with two YouTube channels that I visit on a daily basis. And the reason why I visit them, because I'm very busy with a lot of things, and this condenses my awareness of this current situation in a total time period of about 40 minutes every day. The two YouTube channels that I recommend, one is for survival and prepper type information, but this gentleman is also getting into more of what's coming and what he sees happening. The name of that YouTube channel is called MD Creekmore. MD Creek Moore, like the River Creek. Okay? And the other one that I go to on a daily basis is a guy named Jeremiah Babe, B-A-B-E. And he will read off the real financial news that comes from like sites like Zero Hedge and WolfStreet.com. And CNBC and, Bloomberg and stuff like that, that they don't talk about on TV, that's placed in the back of the website or the back of the newspaper that people don't turn to, the real economic news. He tells it like it is. These stories and this news is not made up, okay, what's happening with the economy. I know some of you don't see this. I hope you all see it, but look around you. What's taking place? Look at the housing market in your area. Okay, look at the store shelves. Look at all the money the federal, criminal banking families at the Federal Reserve are putting on the computer screens or printing up. Look at all the money. Okay, inflation is about to, it's already gone through the roof. It's even going to go higher. And all the supplies that are in the stores, you're not going to be finding those any longer. Okay, they're going to be impossible to come by. If you need your cars repaired, you need a vehicle repaired, because I talked about having a reliable vehicle in case you've got to get the hell out of Dodge for a day or two because it gets really bad, I suggest you go have that vehicle repaired now. I don't care where you get the money from. Find it somewhere. Okay? You need to go get your oil changed in your car. Just have general maintenance done on it. You need to make sure your security firearms are in perfect working condition. I suggest you clean all your firearms today if they haven't been cleaned in a while. If you don't have your marksmanship is not up to par, go out to a range, go out to the woods, I don't know, wherever you live at, bring your firearm security tools out there with you and practice shooting a little bit. Okay? Now is the time. And I mean, some people probably haven't prepared at all. I can't imagine not being prepared at all. I've been preparing for this for 11 years. Some of you have been preparing for it for 20 and 30 years. I wish I had that time, but unfortunately I was asleep until about 11 years ago. So this is the situation that we're in. You can believe it or not, but you better start believing it because it's not going to get any better. And one last thing, Dan, I'm sorry to run over, but I need two to five more minutes. This is very, very important. Okay, if you think this is a game and eventually you're going to cave in and take the vaccine, okay, if you're unsure of yourself and you think that you might cave in the future, don't pretend you're a tough guy now, but seriously think about what you're doing here. If you think you're going to cave and take the vaccine eventually, you might as well go get it today and forget about all of this. Forget everything we said. Forget about everything Dan's talked about for the past 30 years or 20 years, whatever long he's been on the air here. Forget about everything he said. Forget about everything I've said. Forget about every guest he's had that have told you what's coming. If you think that you're going to go get the shot, if they say that, oh, my job depends, I haven't gotten it yet, but if they depend on me getting the shot to keep my job, I'm kind of have to go get it. Stop the fight now. You're wasting your time. You're just putting yourself and your family in major danger. Okay? Go get the shot now if you think you're going to take it. I have already made the decision. My immediate family has already made the decision on what we're going to do. Okay? It was a hard decision to make, and it took a lot of serious thought about what we're going to do, no matter what. And we have come to the conclusion that we are not taking any shot. If you come to our door to come and make me take the shot, it is going to be very, very bad. I'll just leave it like that. It's going to be very, very bad. Okay, I've already made that decision. It's already in my heart. I've already talked it over with God. Okay? I am a Christian soldier reporting for duty every single morning, and I put on the full armor of God that is mentioned in Ephesians 6. So, if you think you might take the vaccine, or God, if it gets so bad, I might have to take the vaccine. If they don't let me into grocery stores, I'm going to have to take the vaccine. If you're thinking that way right now, you still have time to get your thoughts together in your head and figure out the plan, okay? You need to stand by what you decide, and if you think you're going to take the vaccine, just go take it today. Because you speaking out and you pretending that this is a game and that you're going to win by holding signs and marching up and down the street and protesting, you're highly mistaken. It's not a game. Stop putting your family in danger and go take El Jabo. Dan, I will leave it there. Now, if you're not going to take it ever, then stand your ground, protect your family, and always act in self-defense. And remember, if they come to your door, never, ever talk with them. You are just required to identify who you are. That is it. You say Tommy Metzger's famous five words, I have nothing to say. And then film it, and then take appropriate action, whatever is determined best for you and your family that you have in your plan. Dan, I will leave it there. I thank you for the forum again today to get this information out to our people. And I pray to the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, that our remnant and our people, as many as possible that he can possibly save and make it through, I pray to our God, Jesus Christ, every day, the Almighty Father, every single day, the holiest of holies, the King of Kings, that we are spared for what's coming, and he brings us through the fire so we can rebuild our nation under the laws of God and finally put an end to this evil presence that is encompassing the entire country and the entire globe. Dan, over to you.
All right, Keith. Thanks a lot, buddy. Good, excellent points. Everybody that called in today, excellent points. So, yeah. Well, again, thanks for being with us, Keith. And, you know, Yahweh bless you and your family. And we'll do this again soon, I hope.
Yeah, we'll do it again soon. I'll contact you. I'll text you. I need a couple weeks probably to get more thoughts together, or I might need a day to get thoughts together. I don't really know. Things are happening so quick, and it's moving so quickly. If you haven't noticed the speed, well, warp speed is here, as Trump's being said, right? Okay.
Right. Well,
with all this said, Dan, guys, you got to still laugh. Okay, you got to still enjoy your family. Okay, still have birthday parties and whatever else you do, things like this. Don't be afraid to go out to dinner. Don't be afraid to go out to wherever you want to go out to, but just be aware. This is it. Laugh a little bit. I don't know, watch a comedy on TV if you want to. Okay, don't get depressed. Keep your head up, keep your chin up, and always remember, as it's written, we win in the end.
Amen. And along that line, always stay positive. That is your stay positive and maintain your faith. That's where your vibrational frequency is the highest, and the enemy hates that. So, all right, Keith, we'll be back in touch. You know, you as well as our other guests have an open invitation. If something comes up, we'll have a special broadcast if we have to, whatever, to help our people. So, God bless. Take care, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, we had quite a turnout here today. Keith, of course, out there on the West Coast, reporting to us with all that great information, Elka and Gary, and keep the prayers up for both of them as they're doing battle with the system. They're also out on the West Coast. Keith is in the northern part, and Elka and Gary are in the southern part. Randy, thanks, and Yahweh bless him. He's up there in Michigan, but he travels all over the road quite a bit. And John down here in Miami, and he also travels, or has been. Lately he hasn't, but he's a truck driver as well and travels. So we want to thank everybody for calling in. A lot to think about. I know that. Sometimes we're a bit harsh, and we don't mean to step on toes. But I told you a long time ago when I started this program that I did not start it with the idea of making friends. I started it as a platform for truth, a platform for those who do not have a voice out there in the regular media. So we've had a lot of guests over the years, doctors, nurses, authors, military, police, researchers, historians, everyday folk. I mean, it's been quite a journey, but truth was always the underlying thing. I told people you can be a guest on this program anytime you want, as long as you tell me and promise to tell the truth. That's it. And sometimes, especially when we're up against the wall, some of us men can be a little bit on the harsh side, but again, we're not here to make friends. We're here to wake up the sheep, turn the men back into lions, and get prepared to hunker down for the end of this age, which is where we're at. I hope everybody understands that. Scripture talks about the end of the age quite a bit, and you need to know that that's where we're at. There is no looking down the highway as if that's something decades and decades away, maybe even 100 years away. Well, I think it's pretty obvious where this is going right now. It's obvious to me anyway, and I hope and pray it's obvious to you. So again, let's close in prayer as our time together here is coming to a close. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. You and you alone watch over us. You are our King. You are our Judge. You are our Lawgiver. And according to Isaiah 33 and verse 22, you also will be our Savior. I believe that that one verse gives us the formula for success, much like 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 does. Isaiah 33 and 22 gives us the formula that if we make you the King, Lawgiver, and Judge, then you are able to save us. The Hebrew and Greek words used for salvation there have nothing to do with heaven. They have nothing to do with this ethereal type modern day church world get saved nonsense that they talk about. It has to do with saving your flesh and blood from physical pain and harm, which is what the enemy is doing to so many people today. So, Father Yahweh, we just ask you to forgive us our sins, our transgressions of your law. We pray by your Holy Spirit that you would enter into those bags of dead and dry bones and turn them into living sons and daughters to your love and care. We pray that those who are part of your remnant would be lifted up, that they have a stiff backbone, courage, and good discernment, and a love for each other, especially now. We're all part of a very large family. The remnant. Stop thinking that we're all little islands unto ourselves and reach out and fellowship with one another. Lift each other up in prayer and in fellowship and discipleship. Help us to do that, Father, as we prepare for what's coming. And again, we thank you for this opportunity to share with one another as long as we have it. And as Keith has so succinctly put it, we cannot take for granted our means of communication. And so every day that we do have this ability to reach out and tell the truth and wake people up and fellowship with one another, we thank you for that. Help us to see the division that is coming between the righteous and the wicked, that it's by your design. Satan has power, but you are the one in charge, Father Yahweh. And again, we repent of our ancestors and them seeking material gain and money and man-made government and religion and power over you and your ways. We repent of that. And as you wipe this slate clean, we pray that you would make us worthy servants to build back a world that's in your image and per your design, that it would bring peace, health, and prosperity to all that remain. We ask all these things in the name of Yahweh, our King, and Yahweh, our Father. Hallelujah.